In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This season of Epiphany is ending, and soon we will turn our hearts to the season of Lent, which commences in only 10 days' time. The mood and the feeling of Lent, with its sombre tones and veiled icons, couldn't be more different from the feeling of Epiphany. In some way, the change that is coming of our liturgical seasons mirrors the arc of the story of Joseph's life, a part of which was the Hebrew Bible reading for today. The story of Joseph is the longest story in the Bible. It covers the last 14 chapters of Genesis and tells the story of Joseph's life from an upstart teenager to an exiled captive, to an exalted leader and to a humbled brother. It is quite the story, rich in detail and complexity like a great novel. We only get a small portion of the broad story today, and like a lot of texts that are set in our lectionary, is somewhat lessened by the loss of context afforded by the remainder of the story. So let me set the scene a little for how we arrive at this part of Joseph's story. The story starts in chapter 37 of Genesis. Jacob, or Israel as he's often referred to, has settled in Canaan and he's fathered 12 sons, Joseph being among them. They are an agrarian family, so the story starts when Joseph, at 17 years old, is shepherding in the field. Like most teenagers, he tries to establish his place in the world, not sure of who he really is. He finds his brothers slackening off in the field and he reports them to his father. And his brothers don't take too kindly to being spied upon. Joseph becomes the favoured son of Jacob, who dotes on him. And this makes the other children jealous, as you would expect when they grow to hate him. No one really likes being treated less than one's siblings. Joseph has a couple of powerful dreams that he recounts to his brothers. Both dreams reveal a similar vision of Joseph rising above his siblings and gaining supremacy. And this just annoys the heck out of his siblings, and they conspire to kill him. As the favoured son, Joseph is given a beautiful robe by his father, a gift with royal overtones. Joseph, of course, flaunts his new hip clothes, and which just drives his brothers mad. They conspire to kill him, but through the intervention of Reuben, one of the brothers, they determine that it would be better to sell him into slavery than to let him die at the bottom of a dry well. So they do just that, and Joseph finds himself stripped of not only his robe, but also his freedom and dignity as the favoured son. Joseph was taken to Egypt as a slave, and it was a terribly dark time for him. He was vulnerable and lonely and unsure of what each day would bring. It's a place where he felt the presence of God more deeply than in the past, and it humbled him. As a slave with God by his side, he prospered, and he helped his master prosper as well. His master's wife took a fancy to him and tried numerous times to tempt him to sleep with her. And Joseph was wise to the temptation, keenly aware it was not what God would want. He resisted her advances. But in one final rebuke, she accused him of raping her. It was like a death sentence for Joseph, and he was again imprisoned. In prison, Joseph met two of Pharaoh's officials, the cupbearer and the breadbaker. Both had displeased Pharaoh. In jail, each of them had a dream that Joseph correctly interpreted for them. Word of his gift reached Pharaoh, who himself had had troubling dreams. And after Joseph correctly interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, he was freed and promoted to what would be Pharaoh's chief of staff, an honoured position. Joseph always acknowledged that God was alongside of him in his life. With God by his side, Joseph prospered and his wisdom resulted in preparing Egypt for a famine that only he knew was coming. He future-proofed the kingdom by reserving some of the grain from the harvest and storing it away for the lean years that were to come. It was this same famine that brought Jacob and Joseph's brothers back to Egypt to buy much-needed food. We pick up the story in today's reading after Joseph has encountered his brothers coming for the food, but they had not recognized him. He had played some games with them, testing them to see if they had changed since they had sold him into slavery. Joseph, though, couldn't withstand the tension, and he tearfully revealed himself to his brothers that he was indeed alive. And his brothers were dumbstruck. It is here that the story could have gone two ways. The first way is familiar to all of us, I'm sure. Joseph could have extracted his revenge for being sold as a slave. At best, he could have banished his brothers, refusing to give them any food and destining them to starvation. At worst, he could have imprisoned them and then killed them for their despicable act. He had the power to do to them whatever he wanted to do. It was the same power that his brothers had had all those years before when they banished him in slavery. Joseph was filled with the Spirit of the Lord, however, and he chose a different way. Rather than revenge, Joseph acknowledged before his brothers that what they had done and the subsequent impact on Joseph's life was not their fault. Rather, it was the will of God. He therefore absolved them of any responsibility. And not only did he absolve them, but he sought to help them by providing for them life-giving food. Joseph's memory of what had happened to him was not diminished by his absolution of his brothers. In fact, his memory was enhanced by the revelation of God that his whole life had been destined so that he would rise at that moment in history to be the saviour of sorts for not only the people of Egypt, but for his family. It is a fact of our existence that God calls us out in times of our absolute vulnerability. When we are most low, most desperate, most lonely, we are, if we allow, most close to God. Many people report that God has shaped their lives, indeed changed the trajectory of their lives, when they have been in the depths of despair and depression. Henry Nouwen, a famous Roman Catholic academic and spiritual writer, experienced exactly this. He became depressed and despondent because he was living a life of academic success and pride, but it had drained him of his spirit. Out of the darkness, God spoke to him and called him to a new life as a chaplain to children with profound disabilities. It was there at Gliarch facility in Toronto that he found his true calling and was happiest. Parker Palmer, a Quaker spiritual writer of note, experienced the same type of depression and despair. His experience of God calling him in the darkness changed his life's trajectory as well. Often we cannot discern how God is using the individual experiences of our lives for the greater good. You might be feeling lost and lonely this morning, isolated and vulnerable because of something that's happening in your life. Suffering is hard, and we fight to overcome the darkness and to make ourselves happy. We might continue to bounce around in this state for a while if we can't connect what's happening with a deep spiritual experience of God coming alongside us. Martin Luther King spoke of his suffering as he wrestled with the agonizing loneliness and the negative impact that characterized the life of his, characterized him as a civil rights pioneer. He said, "I must admit at times I have felt that I could no longer bear such a heavy burden and have been tempted to retreat to a more quiet and serene life. But every time a temptation appeared, something came to strengthen and sustain my relationship and my determination. And I've learned now that the Master's burden is light precisely when we take his yoke upon us." Joseph accepted that God was using him for something different, and that his path through slavery to top civil servant in Egypt was a path that was ordained for him to follow. His actions helped collapse the world that he and his brothers lived in, that was built on lies and hatred, jealousy and deception. As Christians who put our lives, put Jesus Christ at the centre of our lives, we stand in the shoes of Joseph every day. Joseph's actions link directly to the teaching Jesus gave to his disciples on the shore of Galilee. Jesus spoke to those that would listen, those that were open to hear his words, the meaning to his disciples that left their lives to follow him. These men and women were to be the new moral leaders of their families and communities, just as Joseph was a new moral leader in Egypt. Jesus asked his disciples and asked us each today to act differently in the world and not to perpetuate the ways of the world that are skewed toward rejection of difference, judgment of the other, condemnation of those that hold different views, retribution as opposed to forgiveness, and hatred rather than understanding and love. Jesus asked his disciples to go a step further than others and to be beacons of justice, love, and mercy in a broken world. "Do for others as you would have them do to you," he said. This is revolutionary behaviour. God is calling out to you this morning, those of you that want to listen, to be God's shining lights in the world. When you sit and reflect on your life, and especially as we come into Lent where we will do a lot of reflection, we might reflect on how God is revealing God's self to us. What is God calling us to do, and how will we respond? Joseph is an example for us, and Jesus is a model of the necessary revolutionary behaviour that's required to bring about God's kingdom in our community. So let's take up that mantle and change the world. Amen.